bow our heads before we begin. Father, we just want to come. We want to thank you. We want to praise your name for what you've done this past year. Father, as we're just ending this season of double blessing, we should constantly be thinking of how God has blessed in the past. And Father, we shouldn't forget the promises of the future. And so, Father, we just want to lift up each and every person, thanking you for what you've done, for sustaining us. And now, Father, we just ask that you come and do as you promised. You have called us here. You have chosen that we be here this day, not for human words and wisdom, but for a message, Father, that you want. So, Father, annihilate the servant. Resurrect yourself, your Son, and your Spirit, so that your Son might be lifted up, causing your Spirit to be poured out, enabling you to be glorified. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. We've been going through the book of Acts, and one of the things of Thanksgiving is the idea that if you have amnesia, really life is totally different. You have to understand something of a past, and that's where Acts chapter 15 is. We remember how blessed we have been, but we also need to remember that change is inevitable, acceptance is optional. You don't have to change. There's a whole industry called the Swiss watchmakers that wouldn't accept the change of electric watches. And we all know, I guess antique stores you can find wind-up watches, but they all said that people would never go to an electric watch. And so change is inevitable. Acceptance is optional. And that's what's taking place here. It talks in here about Antioch. It says, some men came down from Judea and began to teach the brothers, unless you are circumcised according to the custom prescribed by Moses, you cannot be saved. Now, here's what happens when change comes in. The idea is change equals bad. And I'm not saying change for the sake of change is good. But change is inevitable. It's going to happen. And so people could not accept the fact. It's just like you say, this is what I had to do when I was growing up. Does anybody walk 5 miles to school, only have charcoal to write with, like Abraham Lincoln? No. Actually, he didn't get to go to regular school, which is, I guess, a promotion for homeschooling, when you think about it. But the idea is, they couldn't accept the fact that they weren't being, people were coming in and were being saved in a different way. It's just not normal. And so there was this dispute. And it says, but after Paul and Barnabas had engaged them in serious arguments and debate, they didn't accept it. They arranged for Paul and Barnabas and some others of them to go up to the apostles and elders in Jerusalem concerning the controversy. When they had been sent on their way by the church, they passed through Phoenicia and Samaria, explaining in details the conversion of Gentiles. And they created great joy among all the brothers. When they arrived at Jerusalem, they were welcomed by the church, the apostles, and the elders, and they reported all that God had done with them. But some of the believers from the party of the Pharisees stood up and said, it is necessary to circumcise them and to command them to keep the law of Moses. People, if you think, if you believe, you know, I tell people all the time, love is not enough to save. Because if it was, everyone would be saved. Believing isn't enough either. You know, believing, just because you believe you can fly, personally, I prefer to get into a plane. Now, I can believe all I want, and I do believe all things are possible. However, even Jesus didn't jump off the building because God said, if you do, I'll keep you from dashing your foot against the stone. Believing, they believe it is necessary to circumcise them and to do it exactly the same way. You're not saved unless you jump through these hoops. That is ridiculous. It's ridiculous in the sense that I want control. And when God is in control, the church is not. One of the things in organizing QC Ministries, we said we have to constantly be keeping check that we don't become an organization. Because then you get into all the politics of it. You know, one of my favorite philosophers says that you never become so friendly that you can't tell someone the truth. And you think about that. Now, he was getting into professional sports at the time, and he said, I never want to be an owner or a manager where I get so friendly with one of the players that if they're not doing their job, I can't fire them because they're my friend. If they were truly my friend, they would understand. That's what this is talking about. It's the idea of getting the politics out of Christianity. There's just so much politics. Rocky and I were talking this morning and used the age-old expression, if it wasn't for Christians, there'd be more Christians. The biggest enemy of the church is the church. Because the idea is, unless they do it the way we do it, they're not a church. That's what was going on here. You know, so we could say that no other church trusts God because they take up an offering and we don't. So we really trust God and they don't. No other church is led by the Spirit because they have a bulletin that they have to follow and we don't. That's ridiculous. You won't find anything. If you've ever been through a teaming process with a mass or chrysalis, you won't find anything more detailed planning than that. And God shows up. Yeah. What's that song Aaron sings, God is in the house? That's the key. You know, God is in the house. And so the Jews are saying, God can't come in unless he comes in through this door. And from my recollection, when Jesus entered after the tomb, he didn't come in a door. He just came in and shows up. The idea of it has to be one way. Thanksgiving, you know, like Richard was just talking about, a backhanded blessing. God, I will accept your blessings, but it has to come this way. We want to dictate the idea of what church is. Church is where God is. That's what church is, where God is. Now, you are the church because he's in you. Now, what he does with that, my goodness, New Testament changes everything. It's not about what you know anymore. It's about who you know, whose you are. It goes from a religion to a relationship. It says they were welcome, but they were told it's necessary, not we would like. It says, then the apostles and the elders assembled and considered the matter. Typical. Is God in this? I wonder, can God be here and here and here and here at the same time? We'll let the church decide. Can God use two different organizations or entities? We won't say organization. We'll say two different entities, two different people. He can use them together, and then he can use them separately. The fact that he is God, it's one of the discussions we had for several weeks. The fact that he is God means he doesn't play by the rules. He makes the rules. And then he changes them in the middle of the game so that he wins. And he always does. See, the rule is the rule of displacement. Because have you ever wondered why if you throw a coin or a nail into a lake, it sinks? But if you make something that weighs, I don't know, several thousand tons, it floats. It makes no sense. It's the law of displacement. You have to displace more water underneath you than what you weigh. That's a natural law. Unless you're God. Try it, people. This is something you can try. Don't do it off the end of a diving board. But right up near the shore, next time you go to the beach, try walking on the water rather than into the water. It doesn't work. Even the Great Salt Lake, you can float easier, but you can't walk on it. It's the law of displacement. Well, see, when God wants to do something, he changes the rule. And not just for himself, but anyone who wants to listen. He never said, Peter, get out of the boat. Peter says, is it you? It's me. If it is you, bid me to come. He doesn't say, come, Peter. He just says, come. Why didn't they all go? Why did they form a board meeting to see if it was a bona fide miracle? That's what I believe they were doing. Yeah, they were taking a vote on, is Peter really walking on water? And then, and churches are still doing this, Peter sank because he doubted. I don't know about you. I can't find anything in here about why Peter sank. And you can say, well, he took his eyes off Jesus. I can't find anything in here. What I can find in here is that even though he was sinking, whether it was doubt, whether it was lack of faith, whether it was criticism by the board on the boat, I don't know what it was. But I know when he cried out, Jesus was there. And I know in here it says they walked back together. We forget that Peter walked again on the water. See, the idea is you can either, Peter knew what was being said on the boat. They're already criticizing him because now we're going to have to listen to this for the rest of our lives. I got out of the boat and you didn't. Why didn't you guys get out of the boat? He knew what was being said. But all I know that it does say in there is that when he asked, Jesus was there. It doesn't matter whether he took his eyes off him. It doesn't matter whether he doubted he was walking. It doesn't matter whether it was a church board action. If this is not of God, have him sink. I don't care why. What I know is he cried, Jesus was there. He's always, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. One thing we need to get into our mind, I don't know why things happen the way they happen. I don't know why all children aren't protected. You know, why some get molested, I don't know. Just had a family down at the Mountain View Church. The grandfather was driving. They got into an accident. Twins. One got killed. The other one is in serious condition. I don't know why. But I know who does. And I either trust him or I don't. That's what this, really, Acts chapter 15 is about. It's about trust. That's what our lives are about, people. We either trust him or we don't. And he gives us little things so that when we get to the big thing, we can say, like David. And, you know, maybe David wasn't thinking straight. Because personally, I don't know if he says, you delivered me from the bear and you delivered me from the lion. And he'll deliver me from you. I would probably be more afraid of a lion than a bear than a human. Yeah. They go on instinct. And they just, let's face it, the record of Christians against lions hasn't been that great. You know, we had Daniel, and then we have Rome. And so you have all this. It says, then the apostles and the elders assembled to consider the matter. After there had been much debate, Peter stood up and said, brothers, you are aware that in the early days, God made a choice among you, that by my mouth, the Gentiles would hear the gospel message. And they would believe. And God, who knows the hearts, testified to them by giving the Holy Spirit, just as he did to us also. People, what is the result? Change. Somebody called me this week and said, a friend of theirs said, they're changing. I said, are you seeing it? No. I said, then they're not changing. If it's the same old thing, think about, I'm going to quit. I have quit. I'm going to quit. Yep, I no longer drink. I'm going to quit. If I stood here and said, I'm on a 1,000-calorie diet and I've been on it for 6 months, can you tell? That's at a meal. See? People, he's saying, if God is in the house, you'll know it. You'll know it. You'll see it. You'll feel it. We used to sing a song when did Cradle Roll. We'd sing a song, I can feel them in my hands. I can feel them in my feet. Yeah, I feel them all over. You know when God is present. That's all Peter is saying. The good news is it moved from people saying God. Where's God? He's in the sanctuary. How do you know? Because I'm telling you. to where's God? He's in you. How do you know? Well, my job used to be killing people who believed. Now, I convert people to believe. There was change. If there's no change, there's no God, people. And people, that's being judgmental. Okay, call me judgmental. I don't listen to what people say. I want to see. See, I don't know if I'm a Thomas or from Missouri. You know, I want to see what God says. And Peter says here, we could see that God sent his Spirit and he fell just as he did on us. Well, that's the same way. No, it isn't the same way. They were shut up in a room for a long time. A long time before the Spirit fell. They went to Cornelius and in a short period of time it fell. It's not always the same. As a matter of fact, when I look at snow, it makes me believe God created TJ Maxx. Never the same place twice. You go in and it's always different. He shows up different, in the same way, but different. It's kind of like, I tell people, and you know, you remember, Mac let me use his truck one time to do a pickup, and Mac said, nice truck, huh? And I said, yeah, Mac, it's nice. I don't covet it, Mac. I just want one exactly like it. And I got one different, but alike. No two the same. Your experience is different than your experience. People. That's why people who only have one child, we say, aren't parents. Because they don't get that joy of knowing that the difference between night and day. Same gene pool, but totally different. Totally different. And so he says, this you can know, that God sent the Spirit just as he did on us. He made no distinction between them and us, cleansing their hearts by the law. Do you believe God can change you? Then change. What is it you want change? If you believe God can do it. Of all my ministry and Christmases, one sticks out on a Christmas Eve in Lynchburg, Virginia, when I got a call when a woman left her husband. And it was her son that called and said, Dad's here. And Mom told him if he came home drunk one more time, she was leaving. Christmas Eve. He said, and she just walked out. Can you come over? We went over. I didn't know what to do. I mean, it's Christmas Eve. The father's laying on the floor drunk, can't hardly talk. There's no mother around. People, when you don't know what to do, here's a clue, pray. And so I said to the man, I said, Jabbo, what do you want? He said, I don't want to be, well, he didn't say it that clearly. A lot of slurring. Yeah, and he goes, and he put his hand out for me to hold. Yeah, that was before H1N1. But, you know, it's still, you have that, they didn't even have that pump stuff then. Yeah. Hold my hand and pray. I don't want to be like this, you know, he says. Okay. held his hand. We prayed, and Jabbo got up. Stone sober. Stone sober. I thought his son was going to fall over. And I did ask him, I said, do you mean it? Yes, I want to change when he was drunk. He got up sober. We were building a school at the time. He calls me and said, do you mind if I make the metal stairs to go upstairs? Yeah, because we didn't know where we were going to get the money to put the stairs in. Yeah, go ahead, make them. And he made the stairs. The building's still there. Jabbo and his wife, they got back together. He never, ever took another drink. Yeah. Why? Because I was in the house? No. Because his son was in the house? No. His wife definitely wasn't in the house. But God was in the house. Never had it happen before. Never had it happen since. Yeah. But I know one thing. When God shows up, you know it. You know it, people. It's undeniable. Change happens. Change happens. We just visited, there's a woman down in Lynchburg we visit every time we go. And she, her sister, or cousin, somebody just died, and she was telling us about it. And I said, yeah, I know several in your family. I said, I know your brother Claude. She said, you don't know my brother Claude. I said, yeah, I know your brother Claude. She said, how do you know my brother Claude? I said, I baptized him. She said, you did not. I said, yeah, I did. She said, how'd you baptize him? He didn't even come to church. I said, he called me one Friday and said, I hear you're having a baptism tomorrow. I said, I am. He said, can you baptize me? I said, I can't. He said, why not? I said, I never met you. Let me at least see you first. So he said, okay, I'll be there. He came to church that week. The next week we baptized him. Yeah. I don't know what happened to Claude after that. But I don't need to know. Yeah. I don't need to know. I take for granted that God gives us these experiences. People, let God be God. He says, and God who knows the heart testified to them, made no distinction between them and us, cleansing their hearts by faith. Why then are you testing God by putting on the disciples' necks a yoke that neither our forefathers nor we have been able to bear? People, why are you expecting people to be perfect when you're not? That's the Revised Good Standard Translation. Don't expect people to be perfect. And I know it's Thanksgiving and you're supposed to be nice, but you aren't. I don't know if you all know that. You're not perfect. I should say we aren't. We aren't perfect. There aren't any of us that are. And the last one that was, we just read about him in a parable this morning. It says they crucified. He says, why are you asking people to do what in 4,000 years you haven't been able to do? You have a 6-week meeting and expect them to do what you haven't been able to do in 4,000 years. Well, all things are possible through Jesus. Do you believe that? Why, yes, we do. Well, then change. You become what you're asking them to become. And we're not talking just about the circumcision that they're talking about. We're talking about the yoke, it says, the yoke that neither you nor your forefathers have been able to bear. On the contrary, we believe and are saved through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ in the same way that they are. Then the whole assembly fell silent and listened to Barnabas and Paul describing the signs and wonders. People, that's what God gives us. See, it isn't just so we can heal people, it's to get their attention. Then when you have their attention, they'll listen. Then when you it's an attention grabber. We have a guy that comes down to the storehouse, Seth, who opens his wallet and flames come out of it. Yeah, it's kind of neat. We went to the restaurant and he did it, you know. That kind of took the waitress. He said, let me get the tip. And he pulls his wallet out, opens it, and all these flames shoot out. And he was showing Izzy, the fingertip lights up, and then he eats it. And it goes out, and he pulls it out of his ear. And then he'll eat it again and pull it out of his navel. Yeah. Yeah. And he gets their attention. Yeah. And then he'll give them an object lesson. Yeah. About sometimes, you know, you can't always see Jesus, but he's in you. How do I know? Because every once in a while he comes out. And it doesn't seem like it. You know, and I'll put him in his ear, take him out of his other finger. It's just an amazing thing. Jesus, it says, he gets your attention first with signs and wonders. Brothers, listen to me. Simon has reported how God first intervened to take from the Gentiles a people for his name. He's going to come. He's going to separate people. That's you. See, I don't believe any of you are here by chance. I believe you have been separated for a purpose. And if you don't do what God wants you to do, guess what? Go to the mall and see there are thousands of others he can bring. It's a privilege. It's a privilege to serve God. You know, when you call out to Dwayne and Dave, how many are left? It's a privilege to be in the back room. And see how, do we have any? You count the meat bags. How many are left? 31. We have 5 bags of meat left. Do you have anything else, Gloria? Is constantly, well, Gloria doesn't say it. Kay says, do you have anything else for Gloria? No, I don't. And I go in the freezer and I get something and bring it out. Yeah. It's a privilege to watch him work. And some of the people who are leaving going, well, I didn't know you had that. Can I put back what I had and take some of that? No. Mac, they go out front and they'll say, well, they got this. Mac said, I told you. We save the good stuff till the end. Yeah. Let me translate. Why would you save the best wine for last? We don't save anything. Just like at the wedding feast. God provides what's there. God provides what's there. So he goes and he gets the people. And then what they do, they say, let's boil it down. Here's what they boiled it down to. You'll like this, Dwayne. Eat healthy. Do no harm. Boom. That was it. Yeah. Abstain from that which is unclean. Don't get into relationships that are going to drag you down. That's basically it. You know, we say the law of clean and unclean. Eat healthy. If a relationship is taking you where you shouldn't be going, get away from it. I think that was written somewhere else on tables of stone. Yeah. Respect, health, and commitment. They boiled it down to those three things. And I give them, see, they want to say they did it. God impressed them. He put you in a place. See, it wasn't my prayer. He put me in a place where it was undeniable that it was God. I'm glad the son was there. Because the mother would never have believed that her husband sobered up that quickly. I was having trouble believing it, and I was there. The kid had no trouble believing it. And I'd like to tell you that we made a phone call, called the wife, and said, you can come home, Jabo's sober. And she came home, but she didn't. She said, I'll watch. And she watched about 3 weeks. Then she moved back in. Not because she wanted to move back in, but she figured just seeing him every now and then, anybody can be sober now and then. I'm going to move back in. I'm going to watch him. And she started noticing 24/7 he was sober. 24/7. Then she started noticing that things that never happened before were happening. He would go someplace with his kids. That had never happened before. Yeah. He would actually be home when he told her he'd be home. That hadn't happened before. Watch. You want to say, people, God is in the house. How do I know? Christy, singing up front. Nathan, singing up front. Matt and Tyler up here playing instruments. People, if you ever doubt God is in the house, for goodness sake, spend an hour with Aaron. Chrysalis is beginning, not because of us, but because God is in the house. God is in the house. Look, change, forgetting those things that are past, I press toward the mark. Does that mean there will never be conflict anymore? This chapter ends, we think, with a conflict. But it doesn't end with a conflict. It adds with God multiplying the ministry from one team to two teams. It says, after some time had passed, Paul said to Barnabas, let us go back and visit the brothers in every town and let us bring John Mark. And Paul says, no, we're not taking John Mark. And it says in the King James, they had no small discussion. In this version, it says they had a very strong argument. And Paul refused to go. And so Barnabas and John Mark went one way, and Paul chose Silas and went another way. And we say there was division. But God says, now I can cover twice as much territory. Like Joseph, what the church thought was division was actually God spreading to twice as many people. Anything you can look at as a blessing from God. It says, Paul chose Silas and departed, and the church prayed upon them, and they traveled through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches. You can only do so much. If somebody calls me and says, and they did not long ago, we'd like to do what you're doing. I said, well, at the storehouse. I said, well, I'm not going anywhere that I know of. They said, no, we mean we'd like to start a ministry like that. I said, praise God. Yeah, praise God. Do it. Then instead of feeding 106 families, we'd be feeding 212 families. And if another one wants to start, then instead of feeding 106 families, we're doing 318 families. And then 424. And that's from Jesus. Leave them alone. Just because they don't do it the way we do it. Yeah. Just because they don't dress like me, talk like me, worship like me, sing as good as me, it's okay. It's okay. Leave them alone. Let God. Yeah. A woman came in the other day to the storehouse. She said, I just found out, or I was told by the pastor that you're the pastor. I said, well, yeah. She said, well, why aren't you out front? I said, because God hasn't called me to be out front. I said, he called the pastor to be out front. Yeah. She went, oh, that makes sense, I guess. I said, makes sense to me. Yeah, I'd rather be in the back than what you're doing. Yeah. I mean, he has this gift and he's schmoozing. I say schmoozing. He's praying with people and people are getting healed and people are taking Bibles. And you know, all we're doing is bagging meat and getting. But that's what God asked to do. And I can't say, you know, my ministry is important. You know, if we weren't given the meat, you wouldn't have anybody to pray with. I believe it's kind of the other way around. When sometimes because of scheduling, he gets there a little late, and I always pray the same prayer for him. I say, nobody is here by choice. God has chosen you to be here today. And we want to thank God for every person he's brought. Because without the people, we'd have rotten meat. What would we do with it? Yeah. What would we do? Everybody, not the same, but used of God. If he wants to do twice as much, leave them alone. Jesus says, leave them alone. As we go into this week, be thinking about the past year. Have I grown closer to or further from in my relationship with Jesus? Am I more of a light now than I was last year? If not, why not? Yeah. All things are possible through Christ who strengthens me. Then do it. Then do it. Make the change, take the steps, start moving, whatever it takes. Whatever it takes. And I keep telling Aaron I'm going to get him the song. I have it in my van. One of these days I'll get it to him. We've read that song title is I've read the end of the book we win. Yeah. Yeah. Can you imagine going on a football field and every team has to play every play the same? So if it's first quarter, first minute, first down, you know what they're going to do. It's going to be the same. Every play, first play, second play. Here's how it would go. First play, sacked. Second play, sacked. Third play, sacked. Why? Because everybody would know. God does the flea flicker. He doesn't do everything the same. Always switching it up. always putting excitement into it. Think about your life this past year, and then think about what he wants to do with you this next year. Well, forget that, because you might not come back. Yeah. Anticipate what he's going to do over this next year. You'll end up going places you never thought you'd go. You'll end up doing things you know you can't do. And you'll end up praying like you've never prayed because of where he's put you. Allow that to happen. Allow that to happen. And our testimony period, yeah, we do it because that's how God says to come in, thanking him, not telling us what's wrong with us. You know, he already knows what's wrong with us. But thanking him for all that he's done, that's going to begin to change. And instead of just the ordinary things, like Richard said, a company who tows you and doesn't charge you, that's a God sighting. Somebody at a dumpster to throw your chair away, that's a God sighting. And be looking for him. And recognize it for what it is. A God sighting. And then tell people how good your God is. So let's bow our heads. Father, we just want to be a testimony. We just want to tell people what you've done in our lives. How you've done it. Father, when we look at our lives, we even wonder why you would do it. But we're thankful you did. And then, Father, we want to take what you've done and share it so that people will know that it can be done for them. He wants to do it. Jesus said, I wanted to bless you, but you wouldn't let me. Oh, Father, let us not hear that. Let us, Father, be the ones with open windows so that you can pour out the blessing, so much of a blessing, that those that come near us receive overflow. We thank you, Father, for promising it. We thank you for providing it. And, Father, we thank you for giving us a voice so that we might proclaim it. We just praise you for what you've done and for where you're going to take us. We just thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. That's why you can believe it when he says, I know the plans that I have for you. The problem is we want to see the plans. Yeah. Even Scripture says, does anybody build a house without counting the cost? I've learned in building a couple houses that it doesn't matter if you count the cost. It's not coming out that way anyhow. But I also know that if you do what he says, I know the plans that I have for you. This is the Lord's declaration. My plans are for your welfare. And not for your disaster. My plans are to give you a future and a hope. Once you accept my plans, you will call to me and you will come to me and I will listen to you. Once you accept my plans, you will seek me and you will find me when you search for me with all your heart.